The U.S. government clears the Delta Northwest merger. Airline fares were up 8% in the second quarter. And Boeing says China's airliner market is on a pace to catch Europe in 20 years. This is Zero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, October 30th, 2008. The U.S. Department of Justice announced its approval of the merger of Delta Airlines and Northwest Airlines late yesterday afternoon, just over 6 months after both airlines announced their plans to join forces against a shaky economy. The Justice Department's Antitrust Division issued a prepared statement which said, in part, quote, "After a thorough 6-month investigation, during which the division obtained extensive information from the companies, other airlines, corporate customers, and travel agents, the division has determined that the proposed merger is likely to produce substantial and credible efficiencies that will benefit U.S. consumers and is not likely to substantially lessen competition," unquote. There's still a federal lawsuit pending in San Francisco, filed by about 24 customers of the two airlines, contending that the merger will reduce competition and result in higher fares. The DOJ obviously did not agree. The pending lawsuit notwithstanding, airline executives are going forward with their plan. The new airline will retain the Delta name, with Northwest branding being phased out. Delta is acquiring Northwest in an all-stock transaction. We're paying higher fares to ride the airlines, even though the predicted wave of mergers never materialized. The Department of Transportation's Bureau of Transportation Statistics reports fares rose 8% year-to-year in the second quarter of this year. BTS says the average domestic itinerary fare in the second quarter was $352. But going back to 1995, when statistics were first kept, second quarter airline fares have increased only 18.5%. That's way behind the overall inflation rate of 44.4 during the same period. Of the top 100 airports based on originating passengers, the highest second quarter average fares were in Cincinnati, followed by Greenville-Spartanburg, Knoxville, Madison, and Grand Rapids. The lowest fares in the top 100 airports were at Dallas Love Field, not coincidentally the headquarters of Southwest Airlines, followed by Burbank, Houston Hobby, Chicago Midway, and Oakland. You can find more details in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters seized the opportunity presented by the BTS numbers to argue for slot auctions at busy airports to fight congestion in lieu of caps, which would serve to protect existing operators. Quote, "Even though caps can cut delays, they also eliminate competition. And without competition, airfares rise. Competition is the key to lower fares. And slot auctions are the best way to get new airlines to serve New York's airports while caps are in place," unquote. Peters noted that while average domestic airfares in the second quarter were up 8%, fares at capped airports increased more. The average airfare at Newark Liberty International grew 16%. Caps were put in place there in May of this year. The Government Accountability Office has ruled the DOT does not have the legal authority to undertake slot auctions. Boeing released details of its 2008 current market outlook for the China region yesterday, forecasting a market for 3,710 new airplanes worth about $390 billion over the next 20 years. Randy Tinseth, Boeing Commercial Airplanes VP of Marketing, commented, quote, "China will continue to be the fastest-growing aviation center in the world, requiring 41% of the entire Asia-Pacific region airplane demand. This makes China the largest market outside the U.S. for new commercial airplanes," unquote. Boeing predicts China's air travel and air cargo market growth will cause its fleet to more than triple to 4,560 airplanes by 2027. That's about as many airplanes as are in Europe today. Worldwide, Boeing projects spending of $3.2 trillion to buy 29,400 new commercial airplanes for delivery during the next 20 years. Up next on ANN, the IAM releases a few details of its proposed contract with Boeing. The NTSB adds EMS safety to its 2009 priorities. And EASA issues an AD for MD-80 series aircraft. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 30th. I'm Paul Plack. Members of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers will vote Saturday on a tentative contract agreement reached with Boeing on Monday. IAM officials say the November 1st ballot date was chosen in part to allow workers to vote at the same time they pick up their weekly $150 strike checks. The vote needs only a simple majority of 50% plus one to be voted up or down. For the first time, we have some details of the proposed contract. IAM Local 751, which represents the 27,000 striking Boeing workers, says the pact would offer a 15% cumulative pay raise over 4 years, signing bonuses of at least $8,000 over the first 3 years, and increased pension contributions. On the contentious outsourcing issue, a compromise will limit the time outside contractors may spend inside Boeing facilities. The IAM couldn't resist a little chest thumping on its website. Quote, "Our union has delivered what few Americans have, economic certainty and quality benefits over the next 4 years. We will fight again in every contract going forward, as long as companies like Boeing see advantage in bolstering their bottom line by sacrificing quality for the cheapest labor. At 30,000 feet, airline customers want quality," unquote. There was no comment from economic development officials in the Sun Belt, who were reportedly too busy licking their chops. Following a fiscal 2008 that was marred by 9 fatal medevac helicopter accidents with 35 deaths, it comes as no surprise that EMS operations are prominent on the National Transportation Safety Board's annual list of priorities. The 2009 federal most wanted list of safety improvements was issued on Tuesday. NTSB Chairman Mark Rossanker commented, quote, "Our most wanted list, which was created in 1990, was designed to raise the public's awareness and support for transportation safety issues. The safety issues on this list are critical to improving transportation safety. When acted upon, these recommendations will reduce accidents and save lives," unquote. New on the list for fiscal year 2009, improve the safety of emergency medical services flights. The board's been on the FAA's case since 2006 to address the safety issues involved in these operations, but the recommended changes have not been implemented by the FAA. Recurring themes from previous lists include runway safety, including incursions, improving flight safety and icing conditions, improving crew resource management training for Part 135 operators, and moving into the video age by adding cockpit video recorders to existing black boxes that preserve cockpit voice and data in a crash. An issue removed from the list this year is elimination of flammable vapors in aircraft fuel tanks, following the issuance of new flammability regs by the FAA for aircraft with more than 30 seats. The NTSB has the freedom to make its recommendations without regard to cost-benefit analysis, unlike the FAA. Following the preliminary report of the Spanish Accident Investigation Commission on the August 20th crash of a Spanair MD-82 at Madrid's Barajas International Airport, the European Aviation Safety Agency yesterday published an airworthiness directive concerning the DC-9 and MD-80 family of aircraft. The move follows evidence that flaps and slats were not properly set before takeoff, and cockpit recordings revealed no sign of a subsequent alarm to the crew. The airworthiness directive requires an update of the airplane flight manual to include a mandatory check of the functionality of the takeoff warning system before engine start prior to every flight. This system provides warning in case the flaps and slats are not correctly set, and that alerts the crew to an improper takeoff configuration. There's been no determination yet on why the flaps and slats may have been incorrectly set on the accident aircraft. But a Spanish judge did recently summon three maintenance mechanics on possible manslaughter charges after it was determined the alarm did not sound. The NTSB has issued its preliminary report on the miraculous mid-air collision of two Cessnas over Colorado, October 22nd. The Cessna 180 was occupied by pilot Tom Heifele of Del Norte, Colorado, and his son John. The board reports they were descending through about 10,000 feet when the passenger spotted a Cessna 210 on a collision course and yelled. The pilot dived steeply but heard and felt an impact. The plane yawed through 270 degrees, was unresponsive to the rudder, and began to bank right, requiring full left aileron to remain wings level. The pilot made a forced landing in a field near Grand Mesa, and the airplane nosed over. After climbing out uninjured, the pilot saw that the top two-thirds of his vertical stabilizer was missing. The Cessna 210 was operated by the Mesa County Sheriff's Office and was occupied by two deputies transporting two prisoners to a Colorado Department of Corrections facility. The pilot said he never saw the other aircraft coming, thought he'd struck a bird, and wasn't aware of any damage until he attempted a precautionary landing at Grand Junction. Upon extending the landing gear, the pilot got a red light indicating the nose gear was unsafe. Control tower personnel confirmed the nose gear had not extended. After several unsuccessful attempts to lower the gear, the pilot landed anyway, and the plane skidded on its nose for about 300 feet before stopping. There were no injuries among occupants of either plane. Neither flight was on an IFR flight plan, so this appears to be just a case of see and avoid gone terribly wrong, or miraculously right, depending on your point of view. An official probable cause report is likely a year away. Still ahead, STAC announces FAA approval for WAAS in several aircraft types. Scientists discover more evidence of water on Mars. And EAA is already beating the drum for AirVenture 2009. You're listening to AeroNews.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, October 30th. I'm Paul Plack. STEC Corporation says it now has FAA approval for its Wide Area Augmentation System upgrade for King Airs and Cessna 425 and 441 Conquest 2s, equipped with Alliant Integrated Avionics. The company also has approvals to upgrade select Cessna 425s and 441s, Twin Commanders, Piper Cheyenne 2s, Seneca 5s, Mirages, and Meridians, equipped with Meggitt Magic EFIS. STEC Chelton Flight Systems Sales VP Greg Plants predicted, quote, "I know that pilots flying Alliant and Magic-equipped aircraft will be happy to take advantage of all the added safety and operational benefits WAAS has to offer," unquote. The company says that because of the diversity of the installations, some WAAS upgrades could be simple software updates, while others are going to require hardware changes. STEC encourages each owner to contact his nearest authorized STEC facility for details. NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter has observed a new category of minerals spread across large regions of Mars. It suggests that liquid water remained on the planet's surface a billion years longer than scientists once believed and played an important role in shaping the planet's surface and possibly hosting life. Researchers say the craft's imaging spectrometer has spotted evidence of hydrated silica, commonly known as opal. The water-containing mineral deposits are telltale signs of where and when water was present on ancient Mars. Scott Murchie, the spectrometer's principal investigator, says, quote, the identification of opaline silica tells us that water may have existed as recently as 2 billion years ago, unquote. The longer water was present on the surface, the higher the odds are that life may have once existed there. The spectrometer collects 544 colors, or wavelengths, of reflected sunlight to detect minerals on the surface. Its highest resolution is about 20 times sharper than any previous look at the planet in near-infrared wavelengths. AOPA Expo in San Jose, California is coming up next week. But the Experimental Aircraft Association is already talking up AirVenture 2009 in Oshkosh. EAA says preparations for the 57th annual event are already underway at Whitman Regional Airport, and it's scheduled for July 27th through August 2nd next year. Among highlights already announced are an expected visit from White Knight 2, the mothership for the new Spaceship 2 space tourism vehicle, a reunion of participants from the five visits of British Airways Concorde to Oshkosh during the 1980s and 90s, and special recognition of aviation's humanitarian role around the world. Special programs saluting international aviation anniversaries and home-built aircraft are also being developed. Following his standing-room-only performance before 10,000 people at AirVenture 2008, comedian Jeff Dunham will be back for an encore in 2009. A struggle by California warbird enthusiasts is demonstrating a sad truth. Storing and maintaining vintage World War II bombers is becoming too expensive for the little guy. Mike Pupich is 77 years old and says his interest in the B-25 dates back to his early childhood, when he sat on his parents' couch in their South Los Angeles home, held a silver platter in his hands, and pretended it was a control yoke. Fast forward to 1972, Pupich, by now a war veteran himself, found and bought Heavenly Body, a B-25J, one of 18 B-25s that were featured in the 1972 film adaptation of Catch-22. Over the past 36 years, Pupich and his all-volunteer crew have restored and flown the historic aircraft, taken it to air shows, and kept it in a huge hangar at Van Nuys Airport, paying just $900 a month in rent. The Los Angeles Daily News reports that plans to demolish the old hangar to make way for new jet hangars at Van Nuys forced Pupich and his crew to find the plane another home. With similarly sized hangars at Van Nuys now going for $6,000 a month, and avgas skyrocketing in price, moving to another hangar and flying the 150-gallon-per-hour plane to a new home at a faraway airport have both proven too expensive for Pupich and his volunteers. And so, Heavenly Body has sat since October 4th, tied down on the tarmac at Van Nuys, exposed to heat, UV damage, and the winds, ash, and dust of the wildfire season. Pupich has tried to protect the plane with tarps, but the damage is already becoming evident. Quote, "I wanted to cry, but what else can I do? All I want to do is save our plane," unquote. Selena Burke, Van Nuys Airport General Manager, says officials have succeeded in finding new homes for 30 other historic aircraft, but says Pupich represents a unique challenge. Choosing her words kindly, she told the paper, quote, "The problem is that they are price-sensitive. They have a home, it's just not their preferred location," unquote. It's understandably distressing to see Heavenly Body left to the elements. The plane is considered by many to be the best surviving B-25, and was even chosen to take off from the deck of the USS Ranger in San Diego Bay in 1992 to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Doolittle Raid. The moral of the story? Well, it may be that unless you're in the Kermit Weeks demographic, the era of personal warbird ownership may be nearing an end. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll revisit the life story of aviation's only ant with Clyde Morris cartoonist Wes Olszewski. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.